Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Matthew chapter 13. I read to you again these words. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away." So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, the only Savior of the world. Last week we heard Jesus tell a parable of a sower who sowed his seed, and the seed fell on four different types of soil. Today, we hear him speak of two sowing seeds. The first is the farmer who owns the field and sows good seed. At night, under cover of darkness, an enemy sows weeds into the midst of the wheat. What to do? As we face troublesome times and difficult challenges, Jesus teaches us to hang on, not to despair, and not to jump to conclusions or do anything rash. After all, he is in control. He is watching over his world and his church, and he will see his dear ones safely home. So, back to the parable. After the seed has been planted, the good seed, and then after the weeds are sown, after a while as the plants are growing up, the servant saw that something was wrong. They saw that there were weeds, and they wanted to tear them out. But the master said, "Let them grow with the wheat, lest some of the wheat might be pulled up too." The separation would take place at the harvest. Now, anyone who's ever grown a garden of any kind can readily understand the servant's concern. If the weeds are allowed to grow, the good plants may be choked out, as we heard last week. And that's why many people do pull out weeds as soon as they see them. And while that's good advice for maintaining a garden, we need to listen to our Lord's explanation of the parable to understand it rightly. The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into a fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. In short, Jesus plants his holy people, the church, in the world. He does this by causing the holy gospel to be preached and holy baptism to be administered. As that good news of the full and free forgiveness of sins creates and sustains faith in people, the devil follows and sows the seeds of his followers among them. As God's chosen and beloved live in this world, there are also unbelievers, children of the devil, among them. Yeah. Like the servants waiting to pull up the weeds, or wanting to pull up the weeds, in our eagerness to live as God's people, we want to try to root out all unbelievers and evil people among us. When we hear of unimaginable sin and horrors such as murder, child trafficking and abuse, fraud, identity theft, and so much more, we would like those perpetrators to all be punished, if not destroyed, immediately. But it's not our place as God's children, either individually or collectively as the church, to destroy them. Now, while we might be able to tell who the unbelievers and evil people are in the world, we will do so quite imperfectly. Likewise, we can't necessarily identify sons of the evil one in the church either. Satan intermingles his false church with Christ's true church. These unbelieving tares may appear to be Christian, but have no regard for the Lord and his word. They live thoughtlessly sinful lives and care nothing for holiness and think of sin but lightly. Others believe and teach that Christianity should and indeed must capitulate to the culture and society around them. This leads to all kinds of abominable teachings and practices. Indeed, Satan infiltrates the church with the ways and thoughts of the world. And he does it in such a way that those who oppose such things are seen as the evil ones. And yet, our Lord specifically says that it is not given to his church to destroy the tares among us. So, what should be done with the tares once they're discovered? Should they immediately be torn out and destroyed? Well, that's what we would like to do, right? Certainly, that's what the servants in the parable thought should be done. Like James and John, when a Samaritan town did not receive the messengers, Jesus said, we might want to say, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Yes, if it were up to us, we would probably pull up the tares and destroy them without any hesitation. But when the sower himself answers, he explains a different way. Indeed, he sounds much like his answer to James and John. You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Indeed, through the prophet Isaiah, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Yes, my dear friends, the Lord's answer is in the way of the gospel, out of concern for his people. The ways of our Lord is a saving way. And that's why Jesus tells us, let both grow together until the harvest. Well, that certainly does sound kind of strange. Let the tares keep growing with the wheat. And yet that's what Jesus says. false believers and enemies of God are going to be around until the last day. To the eyes of men, they may look like a good, helpful, productive crop, and yet their fruit is deadly. But on the last day, when our Lord Jesus returns in judgment, the separation will take place, and it will be final. So, where's the gospel in this, you might say? Well, here it is. Christ allows the tares to grow until the harvest, because to pull up the tares would risk destroying the wheat. And Christ does not want that to happen. You see, Christ has planted his seed in you and has planted you in his church and in the world. And though Satan attacks with all his wiles, he cannot and will not prevail. When the Lord of the harvest sends his angels, he will gather his wheat into his barns. He will deliver his people into the safety and glory of heaven. You, my friends, are being kept for the great harvest on the final day of resurrection. You, who were once children of the devil yourself, have become wheat. You are righteous through Jesus' blood and merit, and you will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of your Father. Until then, you are the Lord's, and he will preserve you. He so carefully and painstakingly cares for you that he will not allow any of the evil people to be uprooted in your midst, lest you also be uprooted with them. For within the church, we do not know who are wheat and who are tares. We cannot see what is in another person's heart, just as they cannot see what is in yours. And for those in the world, God's mercy is for them too, that they might repent and come to faith in Christ. So the tares live among the wheat until the harvest. Why? Because Jesus is concerned for the wheat. He can bring his awesome judgment to bear anytime he pleases. But he doesn't. He wants your salvation to remain intact. The Lord Jesus, who paid for your forgiveness, indeed, who set the whole world free from sin by his suffering, the shedding of his blood, and his death on the cross, he knows that you are weak. He's fully aware that although you are precious wheat, you will still do many weed-like things. He wants to spare you from being uprooted when the terror of the judgment is unleashed. Your Heavenly Father does not want that to happen to even one wheat plant, even one believer, or even one true Christian scooped away as collateral damage is too much. So weeds and wheat wait together until the harvest, and then they are separated. So, beloved, it's not our business to pull up the tares among us. That remains for the angels of the harvest, because the field and the harvest are the Lord's. It is our task as God's dear children to live patiently as we await the resurrection and the life that will be ours forever. As St. Paul writes, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly. But because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. God grant that we grow in Christ, mature by the word of God in Christ's body and blood, that we would live as his dear children, and on the day of harvest, be gathered into the Lord's barn to dwell in his presence with him forever. To him be all the glory. Amen.